This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Congratulations on getting through 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Rob Brenton. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, to update us on how he feels the stay-at-home order is working and if there is a chance that it will be extended or either rescinded. We'll certainly find that information out from Quentin Lucas. Before we do that, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go!
ESPN announced last night that the Jordan documentary will be moving up its start date from June to April 19th. Here's what Colin Cowher had to say about that Jordan team.
But I want to talk about those Chicago Bulls, and I believe they're the most beloved team in the history of my life and perhaps the history of the country. Really. We don't all love the Yankees when they're winning. Most people are now tired of Alabama. We really never got tired of the Bulls. We never did.
To quote The Dark Knight, you either live long enough to be a hero or see yourself become the villain, which got me wondering if the Chiefs become the dynasty we'd all love to see, how will American treat them? Like the beloved Bulls or the hated Pats?
I don't think there's any dynasty really in the history of sports that people saw dominate their league the way that the Bulls did and they still love and look at with admiration. That's not how we treated the New England Patriots once they started to win too much. That's not how we really treat any future NBA dynasty. The Bulls are very unique. Now, they had the most transcendent star maybe in the history of American sports in Michael Jordan. It was also the explosion of cable television where you could watch their games on WGN and the explosion of the internet. So the Bulls certainly had a lot of things in their favor. But I don't think we'll ever reach the point with the dynasty where they will be beloved. That was the way for the Patriots, and then they started winning, and then we started finding out they were cheating, and the Patriots became the most unpopular team in the NFL.
I agree with what Cowherd said. They're definitely the most popular team of our lifetime, probably in the history of American sports, because it's not just Jordan and Pippen and Rodman that we can all name. We all know Tony Kukoc and Luke Longley and Horace Grant and B.J. Armstrong and Bill Cartwright. I can keep going. John Paxson, Steve Kerr. That's how good that team was. It wasn't just the superstars. Most people, at least basketball fans, could pretty much name that whole team. I think the reason the Patriots eventually became unpopular, remember, for the first couple of years when they had Tom Brady and they were the Patriots that had never really done anything, they were popular for a few years until they got so good that all of a sudden nobody else was winning. And when you get that good and go to, what, 9 Super Bowls and 14 AFC Championship games, of course people aren't going to like you. I do think, though, that as long as you've got a transcendent enough player like a Michael Jordan, like a Patrick Mahomes, to some extent like a Steph Curry, then people won't get sick of the dynasty. I think the only reason people got sick of the Warriors dynasty was because of Kevin Durant, and he decided to go essentially buy himself a championship. I think if it just would have been the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green and a couple of draft picks, they'd probably still be the most popular team in the NBA.
Two.
For the record, I will always hate the Warriors no matter what, but in other news, the NFL earlier today ratified the rule change that will add more playoff teams. Now, 14 of the 32 teams will qualify for the playoffs. That's about 44%, which made me think, why does the NFL continue to try to fix things that aren't broken?
I mean, I don't really think this is the fix to the NFL playoffs. I think it's very simple. They're going to make a lot of money off this, and 15 to 20 million people are going to tune into this one playoff game, and they're throwing it on an extra channel. They're going to put a game on and simulcast it on Nickelodeon to attract younger viewers.
Nickelodeon.
So they're certainly going to make a lot of money when it comes off the extra one individual game. This is one of those things, to be completely honest with you, I don't feel too strongly about as of now. We'll see how it is in effect. I will be curious to see how it plays out on the high end side. So if only one team is going to get the bye, so this season, Baltimore, who appeared to be the best team in the regular season in the AFC, but Kansas City, New England, Houston kept playing because the two seed was still up for grabs. If only one team is going to get the bye, how is it going to affect the last 2 weeks of the season? Are the Chiefs going to play Patrick Mahomes the last 2 weeks of the season or be cautious with him if there's no way they can get the one seed and they're only going to get the two seed and there's no bye capability? Are they going to choose to rest players? I think it's going to help on the back end and certainly create more teams for a chance to win the wild card. I wonder if it's going to have a negative effect at the top where the good teams simply just start to coast the end of the season because they have no chance of being the one seed.
Did you say they're putting a playoff game on Nickelodeon?
They are.
Who's doing the play-by-play? Squidward? Clarissa the Teenage Witch?
I mean, that's a different person, but it's all good. Well, whatever. It's all good. I certainly hope that they do it right.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. That's outside the box thinking, trying to get a younger audience. They're going to slime Aaron Rodgers. Did I get that one right? Was Nickelodeon the slime?
They were the slime.
Okay, cool. They're going to slime Russell Wilson at the end of it. I think this benefits the best teams, which the best team right now is the Chiefs. If only one team gets a bye, it makes one team's path a whole lot easier, and it benefits the okay teams. If you're a middle-of-the-pack team, if you're the Indianapolis Colts and you're going to go 8-8, now you have a chance to make the postseason. So if you're bad, you're still not going to make the postseason. And if you're good but not great, let's say like Baltimore or New Orleans or a team like that, then you could get a two seed and end up getting screwed and not get the bye. So if you're amongst the best, it's good for you. If you're amongst the average, it's good for you. If you're every other team, it really doesn't change much.
It was Clarissa explains it all.
Clarissa.
And Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
Yes, well, Clarissa was not the Teenage Witch, but it was the same person. Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, she but same person?
It was the same person.
Okay, well, I didn't screw up as bad as I thought.
Three. You might have been thinking of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I knew that one.
Those three named girls get you, Sean.
They really do.
Biggest news in the NFL, reports are the Dolphins are making a play to try to acquire the top overall pick from the Bengals. They have plenty of capital to do so. Presumably, they'll go get a quarterback. But we expect the price to be very high, which leads to the question. To get number one overall, would you rather have that top pick or a horde of first-round picks?
I'd much rather have the situation that the Miami Dolphins have. The Miami Dolphins plan actually ended up working. They were competitive enough, but still got a top five pick, still have the resources to go up and get at least Tua. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade the number one overall pick. If I'm Cincinnati and I think you're that desperate for you, I'm trying to hit you for at least two ones and a high second-round pick. If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, I do think it's a little bit of a smokescreen, and we'll see what happens. But I do think that Cincinnati ends up selecting Joe Burrow. But the Dolphins find themselves to be in a really good spot. They had a lot of cap space. They made a lot of additions to their defense. I think their defense can be pretty viable with Brian Flores. And they have 11 NFL draft picks. I think the Dolphins are going to be a wild card team this year.
What's my girl's name? Melissa or Marissa?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Melissa. I think you're onto something, Rob. For some reason, only girls from 20 years ago had three names, Sarah Michelle Gellar, or serial killers, I suppose, John Wayne Gacy, Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, if Cincinnati doesn't care, if they think that essentially Joe Burrow and Tua are about the same quarterback and have the same potential, then I trade the pick. I think that they're infatuated with Joe Burrow. I think that they understand that he has potential to be a top, let's call it 10 quarterback, 2 or 3 years into the league, when personally I see Tua as a little bit more of a project. But if they think that Tua is just as good, and Miami, who has three first-round draft picks, is willing to sweeten the pot and trade top five picks with them and give another first-round pick, if I'm Cincinnati, I pull the trigger on that deal.
Right now, we'll head to the phone line to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. Always appreciate his time. He wanted to come on and give people an update on how things are going. Mayor, it's an honor to have you on the show. Let's start with this. Last week we had you on, you talked about the stay-at-home order. Now fast forward a week, how do you think the stay-at-home order is working?
You know, I think most people are following it. From what I see, you know, when you look at the traffic in the morning, it's not that heavy. Most businesses have shut down. A lot of people are following the rules. We've got a few problem areas. You know, I drove around Swope Park this weekend and saw that, particularly on Saturday night, there was a huge amount of partying, a bunch of kids playing basketball, that sort of thing. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, we're not supposed to be doing that. So we're going to enhance police patrols to make sure we're avoiding that. People need to make sure they're maintaining social distancing wherever it is they can. And so we've got more work to do, but I think Kansas City has done an outstanding job as they've gotten started on this stay-at-home era.
Mayor, what's the balance between, obviously, you guys have been encouraging people to go outside, but you know as well as anybody, once you create exceptions for people, they just abuse the exceptions. And I do feel like that's what's happening with the parks being open. What's the balance of you encouraging people to go outside, but also trying to be strict when it comes to the social distancing policy, as you called it?
You know, I think we need to recognize that, yeah, there are going to be a lot of people that don't follow the rules in the way that we would like. So there are some things that we have to do that are unfortunate. We're currently in the midst of taking down tennis nets in Kansas City. We'll likely be, you know, taking down basketball hoops, which breaks my heart. But, you know, we have to make sure we follow that, and we're going to have more enforcement. So you're probably going to see more park rangers and police that are in the parks, and the rangers telling people to disperse when they're getting in these bigger groups. You know, at this point, I don't think we're a community that needs to have the full curfew order or something of that sort. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to let Kansas City get to the point like we're seeing in New York right now. That incredibly have more people, but that number of infections that they're dealing with is heartbreaking. And it's not just big cities like that. It's New Orleans and the metro area there, which is actually, I believe, smaller than the Kansas City metro and probably has about 4,000 cases. That's crazy. So we need to do everything we can to make sure we're keeping that limited.
Mayor, there's a lot of people right now that are getting stir crazy and that just hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Is there one right now, or is this just kind of something that we're still playing by ear?
You know, I think from all experts that I talk to, there is a perceived light at the end of the tunnel. There is a way that, you know, with our practices right now, and you've seen it in a few areas. I was just reading an article about how in San Francisco they expected more of a spike, but due to a lot of the shutdown that they've done already, it is not, the case numbers aren't increasing to the level that we want. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. What I can't say is when that is exactly. And instead of giving a date, what I usually say is we need a few factors to exist. One, we need to have a decline in the number of new cases announced each day. I know that there's going to be a while we continue to have them, but what we can't have are these spikes where you're adding, you know, 15, 20 new cases a day in Kansas City, Missouri, or in Johnson County, or that sort of thing, which is sadly some of what we're seeing. You also want to make sure that our hospital networks are in a position where they can handle everybody that's coming through, both with coronavirus, but also the normal things that are existing each day. And then finally, you know, we want to make sure that the spread won't just reoccur. And so the way you do that is to trace and see, all right, where are infections happening? Are we getting new ones that are coming from community spread? Is it travel? I mean, it takes that sort of study to make sure that we're out of the woods, so to speak. And we're certainly not there yet. I don't expect us to be there probably for about a month at least.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Mayor Quentin Lucas. Last time you were on, you talked a lot about flattening the curve. Where are we at when it comes to flattening the curve? And the only way I think we're really going to be able to defeat this and combat this is properly having enough tests for people, and that's going to be a huge step in the moving process. How close would you say we are to getting adequate testing for the residents of Kansas City, Missouri?
Not close, nearly enough. Not even close. And it's a problem. You know, it's a problem in this entire metro area, this entire region, anybody who can listen to 610, that, you know, and look, I'm not here to, you know, lay blame on people, but for once I'm going to. You know, we need more tests immediately in Missouri and in Kansas. The fact that there are people walking around right now through no fault of their own that don't know if they're ill, probably infecting people, spreading it, creating more problems, that's the travesty of this moment. And, you know, I actually don't know if I ever told you all this. I studied abroad in college in Cape Town, South Africa. And the amazing thing is I was actually still got a friend down there who was listening to a story and was talking about how, you know, you could get tested real quickly and then you get results soon and all that sort of stuff and you can limit it. And I'm like, dang, we can't keep up with South Africa on, like, tests and checkups and health. I mean, because it ain't that fancy. And so what I think we need to see more of from a federal level on down is an acceleration of testing. So folks actually know if they need to be truly quarantined. They know if there is a challenge, and we're not just telling people, well, you can't get tested unless you're really, really sick, which is unfortunately what a lot of people are hearing right now in Kansas City.
Are the people that you're hearing from still pissed off, or are they now understanding that this isn't something necessarily that's at my level or your level, but it's just a much bigger deal?
You know, I think there's still some people that are angry. You know, I talked to a barber the other day who was saying, you know, hey, well, you need to make me essential and all of that. And, it, you know, the thing I always tell people about essential businesses versus not, literally everything we're doing, we're not coming at this to attack anybody. We're not coming at this to challenge anybody. We're not coming at this because Quinn Lucas has a problem with something. This is to save lives. So the reason we don't have the people in the barbershop is because we see that that was an area where there could be extensive community spread. I know that some people say, well, how can the liquor stores be open, but this isn't? You know what? They're problems. But here's the thing. More people can spread something at a church, right, and shaking hands and being around each other and all of that, then we're seeing evidence of them spreading it at some corner store. We're trying to make sure that people are good and behaving no matter where they are and keeping their social distance, but at the same time, we're going to continue to make sure that we're going at those events where you're seeing spread happen. I hate reading these stories from other parts of the country where you have people who are at a wedding or a funeral, and you've got entire families impacted. So that's why we're taking the steps we are now. And, you know, look, this is a challenging time to be a mayor, but frankly, I think the whole community is stepping up because, as y'all recognize, the whole world has changed on us. I mean, this is not something we're used to. Most of our disasters are like a tornado comes through town, and while those are tragic, it's limited. There's this time frame. You know, when it's done, you know to rebuild. This is something wholly different, and so it's why, you know, we have to keep coming together throughout this crisis.
Right now we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, for a couple of more minutes. Mayor, you bring up businesses. I saw that you guys had to issue citations to 200 businesses. Has that been a problem for you, that people are not taking the advisory when it comes to what is an essential and a non-essential business?
You know, to some extent it is, but I think most people just wanted an opportunity to know what was essential versus not. And so we're making sure they know. But, you know, I think usually when people get notice about something they're doing that does not follow the rules that are issued and the rules that exist in this entire 2.3 million person metropolitan region, then, you know, we're making sure they know. We don't want to be Big Brother. We don't want to be knocking on people's doors and doing all types of crazy things, but at the same time, you know what, we're going to make sure that people stay safe. And so that's why we're taking these actions. That is, you know, that's a decent number of businesses, but we have a lot more in Kansas City, a heck of a lot more, that are following the rules. And I think even since those letters were going out, we have more following our rules each day. So I expect people to understand what's happening, primarily because of the public. You know, you, the listeners right now, that are kind of saying, we're not going to this place that's creating problems. We are going to be responsible with our own businesses, our own families. That's how a difference is being made right now, and I'm very proud of Kansas City for it.
Mayor Lucas, last question here. It's crazy to think that we are just 1 week into this stay-at-home order that you issued for the next 30 days. When do you start the process of reevaluating if you're going to lift it or not? When do you start the process of asking yourself, is it going to be extended? Because I'm sure you saw it in Virginia. They have a stay-at-home order until June 10th. That's a long time from now.
You know, that is a very long time from now. We will keep reviewing as public health warrants it. I think everybody, and I'll just tell y'all in case you're wondering, because we're between, it's among friends right now. That order is not getting lifted soon, and by soon I mean probably not in the month of April. We see forecasts for an ongoing spike in the cases we have running at least until probably late-ish April here in the Kansas City area. We will make sure that we have that order in place so that we can keep people safe as long as possible. So we are not looking to do an early lift. I think the question we have to ask now is, if it's going into May, how long is it? What does it look like, et cetera? And so that's really where we're at now. But look, we listen to data all the time. We will look at facts. If there's a vaccine tomorrow, then that changes our calculus. But for now, we're expecting, and it's why we've let the people know that basically through the end of April, they can expect to continue to live under these orders.
That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, joining us on The Drive. Mayor, really appreciate the insight, the information. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
The stay-at-home order is not going to be lifted at any point in the month of April, we were just told. Okay. All right. Well, I'm happy that the Last Dance is going to be available because we're going to have a lot more Netflix and Hulu nights in our upcoming future.
If I'm Netflix and if I'm Hulu, I dump everything. Anything that I was planning on dumping during the summertime or a certain time of year when the weather's nice or in season. Hell, if I've got Christmas specials that I was planning on releasing in December, they're coming out next week. Now's the time. Everybody's got to stay at home. Everybody's bored. Everybody, at least speaking for myself, is probably watching more television than they have in their entire life. If you've got it, there's no point in holding it right now if you're Hulu or Netflix.
So you say that everybody is in the house. Well, not everybody, because we wouldn't have a new edition of...
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
So When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong, I've used it to highlight people who have been very careless in their actions. Now, the scientists and the medical professionals have been very steadfast on what we need to do. Social distance, keep your hands clean, try to stay out of congregations and groups of people. Some people just don't listen, like little Corona boy.
If I get Corona, I get Corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. 2-3 months. We're just not even having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
So if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago, we told you the story of little Corona boy. Back when you could go to the beaches in Florida, there were kids hanging out and having a great old time down there. They were at the bars. They were at the beach. They were just drinking it up, living life. Ha, ha, ha. Having a great time, right? Little Corona boy said, it doesn't matter. If I get it, I get it. But I'm here to live life. I've been planning this trip. This is a trip of a lifetime. I didn't start planning it until 2 months ago. This is a trip of a lifetime. I've been anticipating this trip for the last 42 days, he told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to know how this story ends? You guys know how this story ends, don't you?
Austin public health officials say that more than 28 young adults who returned to Austin from a spring break trip to Cabo San Lucas have tested positive for the coronavirus, and dozens more are being monitored. Officials said Tuesday a group of about 70 people in their 20s departed on a chartered plane about a week and a half ago. Some of the attendees flew back on commercial flights. Four of those who tested positive showed no symptoms. Local health officials said Mexico was not under a federal travel advisory at the time of their travel, but again urged Austin and Travis County residents to avoid all non-essential travel. Nearly half of those who tested positive for COVID-19 are between 20 and 40 years old, city and county records show. Health officials said it was, quote, dangerously misguided for young and healthy people to think that they won't experience severe symptoms of COVID-19. For 610 Sports Radio, from the KMBZ Newsroom, I'm Sam Stevie.
I don't want to continue to do this. I wish that we as a society could evolve that we don't need new episodes of...
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
But as long as we have this outbreak and this pandemic and people continue to not heed the words of American heroes like Anthony Fauci, they will continue to end up When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. Like Boris Johnson, the prime minister in the UK, where on March 10th, he was telling people that he wasn't that afraid. He was shaking hands and he wasn't going to let the coronavirus change his way of life. And then 14 days later, he got the coronavirus. Or the gentleman who drove around the state of Tennessee buying up all the toilet paper, all the hand sanitizer, all the disinfectant wipes, and then eBay and Amazon shut down his account and he was forced to donate the goods. People are really showing themselves that they're not very bright, that they're not very smart, and that they're entirely too selfish. And you know what? Those kind of people will always have a place on...
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Little Corona boy and those nasty, sick kids that we all knew. Like, we all knew how this story was going to end.
Where the hell were their parents? Yeah, we knew. Their parents didn't know. Their parents weren't like, hey, it might not be a good idea, my 17 to 22-year-old child, to go down to, I don't know, Cabo or Cancun or Puerto Vallarta right now with a bunch of co-eds in a pool, in a hotel room, doing whatever y'all do on spring break, because there's a little something going on in the world right now. Where the hell were the parents?
Well, I think in this scenario, the advice is only as good as the people that listen. Like, I feel very certain there was a time where your mom told Baby Sports Machine to do something, and then you completely went against the advice of your parents.
Yeah, when I left their house, that's when it happened. But if this is my senior year, spring break, in fact, this happened. This literally happened. Well, this didn't happen with coronavirus, but all my boys went to Puerto Vallarta, and my parents pulled the rug out from underneath me. For months, I thought I was going. We were planning on it. I ended up going to Bettendorf, Iowa, with a friend for my senior spring
break.
You
can't really go to a place the opposite of Puerto Vallarta than where you went in Iowa.
Bendor, Iowa, and it's a great place. It's just not quite Puerto Vallarta. So trust me, I know what this is like.
Can we have a topic tomorrow on what the worst state in the union is? Because Iowa might actually be the number one overall pick.
Iowa wouldn't be in the bottom half of states. There's so many states that I don't actually believe people come from. Have you ever met somebody from Idaho?
You can name 25 states better than Iowa.
Yeah. Idaho's not a real place. New Hampshire's not a real place. Nobody's from Vermont. That's not a real place that actually exists. People say they are, but it's not real. I've never met somebody from there.
Are we sure that Vermont's really that different than Iowa?
No.
I mean, let's not make it seem like, I mean, you're kind of overselling.
I've been to Iowa.
You're overselling Iowa.
Iowa's got Iowa City, Ames, and Council Bluffs. Three cities that I like. If you could name three cities in Vermont, then I'll take back what I just said. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you gave me less than 7 seconds to think
name
of.
Name one.
Montpelier.
Name two.
I can't. Coming up next, we'll go inside the mind of the machine and we'll talk football. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
We'll talk football here coming up momentarily. We were talking about Iowa, and is it the worst state in the union? I have a different question for you. We should do this draft. We should do a worst states draft. Everyone tries to do like the best states. We should do it in reverse and just try to see if we can, who can have the worst combination of places that seem like the most undesirable to live. So there's 8 states that touch Missouri. Do we agree that Iowa is the worst bordering state of Missouri? So these are the states that border Missouri: Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Louisville, Nebraska, Illinois. As much fun as I make fun of Kansas, I much rather live in any place in Johnson County County.
Real quick, before you make your point back up. One of those states that's surrounding Missouri was Louisville?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, because I know the 50-50.
Kentucky.
Okay, there we go.
Kentucky, my bad. I was thinking Louisville when I wrote it down.
I was going in order.
Iowa, okay. Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kentucky, okay. Nebraska, and Illinois.
Okay.
Those are the states that border Missouri. Iowa is by far the worst state that borders Missouri. I don't even think it's arguable.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Like Kansas, like we make fun of Kansas. I much rather live in Johnson County than any part of Iowa.
What?
There's no part of Iowa I would live in over Johnson County, Kansas. Not a single place. Now, once you get past Manhattan, Kansas and Iowa become virtually the exact same place. But there's places in Kansas I'd much rather live. There doesn't seem like there's any enjoyable place to live in Iowa. No enjoyable place.
There's lots of good places in Kansas to live. As somebody that grew up in Overland Park, went to college at KU, spent a lot of my life in Lawrence, lots of good nights in Manhattan. I love me some Kansas. Now, I ask you, what's the difference between Nebraska and Iowa? As somebody that's clearly got a problem with Iowa, and I know that you've at least drove through Nebraska, what's the difference between those two states?
If I had to pick, I'd rather live in Omaha than any of the places in Iowa.
Like Omaha
if I
and Council Bluffs are literally 30 seconds apart. You can see Omaha and Council Bluffs, Iowa, if you're in one or the other.
If you had to pick, which one would you pick?
Omaha.
Okay, you'd pick Omaha. So, yeah, out of all the places that are on here, all the, like, possible cities that
Kentucky,
you can live in.
What the hell does Kentucky have? Kentucky's got a basketball
team. Have you been to Louisville? Louisville's great. I've been to Iowa and I've been to Kentucky. Louisville's a better place.
You must have been there because you're pronouncing it right. A lot of people don't call it. It's actually
I'd much rather live in Louisville than live in Iowa if I had to pick between the two.
I think that Iowa has better, and I've never been to Kentucky, or at least I've drove through it, but I've never stopped.
Yeah, I went to Louisville because I went to Churchill Downs last summer.
Better college towns in Iowa. And Ames is okay.
That stuff just doesn't really do much any for me because I'm an adult now. Like, I'm with you. I like Lawrence. I like Manhattan. At this age, like, the appeal of, man, Iowa City's great. Like, I guess. Like, it's fine. I wouldn't live there if I had the choice.
But that's like saying if you're 18 years old, you can at least appreciate Las Vegas. If you're 40 years old, you can't appreciate all the old people going down to Florida. You at least have to understand that the fact that they've got these great college towns makes it a great state. At this point in your life, it might not be. You're probably not going to go for a weekend to Ames, Iowa, and enjoy the downtown scene and hit on college girls at this point in your life. That doesn't take away from the fact that those places exist in Iowa.
No, they do exist. But I would
just
say.
You've been to Iowa City?
Yeah, I would just say, though, when it comes to college towns, 35 states have good college towns. Like, if you have a major university, then you have a good college town.
Is there a bad college town?
Like what state? Like, we hear all the time, like, about Laramie, how Wyoming, where the Wyoming Cowboys play. Like, if you have a major college, you have a good college town.
We hear all the time. Where do you hear all the time that Laramie, Wyoming is popping?
Well, I mean, whenever they play in college football season, people seem to like it. You don't really hear a whole lot about Iowa City. The only reason we think that's because you live 4 hours from it. Believe me, no one that lives in Georgia is like, man, you know where it seems like a really good place to live? Iowa City. I heard it's popping for college towns. No. So that's why for me in my evaluation of these cities, I don't just count college towns. You're right. Manhattan, Kansas is a great place. There's 100 Manhattan, Kansases in America. 100 of them. There's no shortage of nice small towns with colleges. Believe me, there's a bunch of them in this country. So I'm just not evaluating that in my where I want to live. So that's what I'm saying is in Nebraska, if I had to pick between Omaha or Iowa, I would pick Omaha.
I mean,
if I had to pick any of those places to live, I'd pick Omaha.
It's the same thing. Is there a bad college town?
I mean, both are bad. I'm not saying that today. No, I'm like, man, you know, hey, I'm packing up and I'm moving.
It's not Idaho. It's not Vermont. It's not a place where nobody lives. There's nothing wrong with Nebraska. If you got a problem with Nebraska and Iowa, the truth is you probably have a problem with Missouri and Kansas.
Idaho might actually be a great place just depending on what you're into. Like, you have told us over these last time, you've turned into Anthony Bourdain. You've turned into all these great people that are now you're reading books and you got a telescope and you're looking like
there's nothing else to do.
You might love Idaho right now. I'm telling you, one thing I know Idaho has is wide open space to sleep outside and camp. That's all you're telling me you're into right now. You're fishing, you're hunting. You basically turned into Ned Yost since this quarantine has happened. You've turned into Steve Irwin over these last couple of weeks. You might love Idaho right now. You can go hiking. There's nobody on the mountains right now. Idaho might be a great place to social distance and quarantine right now. I think you're discrediting Idaho in this.
Well, Steve Irwin's dead, and it's way too soon to talk about such a legend. And how do you know Idaho's any different from your favorite place on planet Earth, Weston? Something tells me Weston and Idaho, same thing.
But the beauty of Weston, though, see, I think you're discrediting the beauty of Weston.
I never would.
The beauty of Weston is it's not that far from civilization. So you could go to Weston, have a great time, and then very easily turn back and then be in the city. I would probably feel a lot different about Weston if I had to be there for prolonged periods of time. The longest I'm ever in Weston is 5 hours. You can have a lot of, like, I'm sure Idaho's fun for 5 hours. Like, yeah, I'd probably have a great time in Boise. But then at some point, it sets in that, hold on, I can't leave and I have to live here. Like, I'm going to continue to stay here. I assume that's what Iowa is. I assume that's where a lot of places in Kansas are, that they're probably great places. But then at some point you realize that you just can't easily go home, that place is your home, which probably is a miserable existence.
If you can only name one city in the state, then the state sucks. Like, you were talking about Boise, and I was thinking, well, I could probably name another city. Actually, I don't think I can. Can you? For Idaho?
No.
How many cities in Montana can you name?
I think we're a little biased because
Billings.
I think we're a little bit biased because we live so close to some of these places. Like, I think if you randomly go to California and you ask someone to name multiple places in Iowa, they probably couldn't do it either.
What if you ask someone from California to name as many cities in Kansas as you could name?
They probably name zero.
No, they could give you Wichita, Topeka.
No chance.
Yeah, for sure.
They would say Kansas City.
Yeah, that's probably what they would say.
Well, that would work. There is a Kansas City in Kansas. So we'll accept that answer.
Wichita, I'm telling you that.
Yeah, so next time you go to Las Vegas, go up to somebody and ask them where they're from. And then say, name as many places in Kansas you can name. And I guarantee you, no one says Wichita that's not from the area.
I guarantee both you morons that half the adults out there in the country, California, Florida, Texas, anywhere, if you said name a city in Kansas, they could name Wichita. I'm not saying it's the greatest or biggest or most well-known place on earth. You've heard of Boise. You've never been to Boise.
Have you seen the American public?
Yes.
Right now, the people are on
Not
television.
For a while. I haven't seen anybody for a while except for your ass.
The people are on television telling you, don't go outside, you can get sick. Every weekend, I see mad people outside trying to get sick. You're giving the American public way too much credit.
Yeah, those people all might have a temperature, and they can also tell you Wichita's in Kansas.
Okay.
It's not like I said they would start saying Olathe and DeSoto. I said Wichita.
Yeah, I don't think people know that. I'm serious. I don't think people know that.
You're crazy. I think most people can name three. If you ask a normal adult in California, how many cities in Kansas could you name? I think they could probably say Kansas City, Topeka, and Wichita.
Let's call a sports talk host tomorrow from California and play this game tomorrow.
We got 4 hours. Let's do it all day tomorrow.
Let's literally do that
between like 3 and 5 tomorrow. Let's just call different states.
We got 12 hours to kill this week, boys. We can do this all day. All right,
fine. Let's do it.
We can randomly call a sports talk host in California.
Don't twist my arm.
And say you've got 30 seconds. Name as many cities in Kansas.
I'm going to raise you. Why does that have to be a sports talk host?
You know somebody in California?
I know plenty of people, but let's just call random phone numbers in the state of California.
Well, that's illegal.
Then that's not going to work.
We can't do that. So I'm saying we could call someone and then tell them what the bid is and then have them be a part of it.
Well, but something tells me if we tell them that, they're going to do a little bit of research.
I'm just saying, hey, we want you to come on the show. Hey, we want you to have them come on the show for one thing. Can you name 3 cities in Kansas? Go. And then I don't think that person names Wichita. I do not think that.
I bet they do.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Before we do that, let's go inside the mind of the machine. Can't believe how much credit you're giving the American public.
Wichita. I didn't say they were going to name Bonner Springs.
We're going to find out tomorrow. I'm happy to put money on this. I'm confident they don't do it.
I'm not calling somebody in Sacramento and expecting them to say Lenexa. I'm expecting them to say Wichita or Topeka. A lot of people can name the capital of every single state.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people.
We're going to try tomorrow. We're going to call a random person in California. And we're going to give them the bit.
I mean, I got nothing better to do, so let's do it like 20 times.
You want
to
put something on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to pay.
I'm willing to put my money in the middle of the table.
So am I. I'm all in on this
one. Okay. All right. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll do it 3 o'clock tomorrow so people can know.
I'll see you at the flagpole, buddy.
3 o'clock tomorrow. We'll call a random person from California, and we'll see what happens.
You grew up a big fan of Nickelodeon, did you not?
I love 90s Nickelodeon. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, what was your favorite 90s Nickelodeon show?
Doug. I love Doug.
Disney. I'm like, no, I don't think Disney was on Nickelodeon. Doug was great. What about Drake and Josh?
No.
Rugrats?
Love Rugrats. I'm a big Rugrats, Hey Arnold person.
Me too.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
How'd you not watch SpongeBob?
It's a little too late. I was too old by that time it happened. I'm shocked that you watched SpongeBob because you're older than me.
Well, I've got nieces and nephews.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a sister. She ain't watching SpongeBob. I just directed her in the way she should be going.
I make them watch the classics. They want to watch their cartoons, Paw Patrol. I make them watch my cartoons. We're watching Bobby's World or Camp Candy or something like that. No, we're watching Paw Patrol. Chris Godwin gave Tom Brady his number 12 jersey. That's not too big of a surprise. What athlete looked the weirdest when they eventually changed jersey numbers? And you can't go with Jordan's 45 because that lasted all of 5 games.
I can't really think of anyone else that changed jersey numbers off the top of my head.
LeBron wearing 6 looked weird to me.
LeBron, Kobe, Joe Montana.
Yeah, I didn't really think the Kobe thing made a lot of sense to me. Why he changed numbers, especially given all the stuff he was going through. Come back to me on that one. I got to think.
All right. 5 years ago today, Steph Curry had one of the nastiest crossovers you'll ever see.
The one on Chris Paul. I saw the highlight of it.
Dude, just he broke his ankle. That's crazy. Who's got the nastiest crossover you've ever seen?
Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving has the best handle of all time.
Of all time?
I think Kyrie Irving is the best dribbler of the basketball that has ever lived.
The best highlight package on YouTube that I've ever seen when it comes to ball handling and passing is White Chocolate Jason Williams. He had like 200 plays that would have been number one on ESPN or Pistol Pete, but there's not a ton of footage. Jamal Crawford's got a nasty crossover. He's not Kyrie Irving.
I kind of feel like Jason Williams is like white people's Eminem. Because there was this question on Twitter a couple of days ago. It was, who's the best passer you've ever seen? And I said Jason Kidd. 7 people were like, Jay Williams. Like, that's the best passer you've ever seen was Jason Williams? Like, I feel like there's not a lot of white guys in the NBA, but there was one that played with a little bit of hot sauce and a little sizzle on it that y'all love Jason Williams and really have, like, oversold his career.
He wasn't great, but he was a great ball handler and passer. When it comes to just a highlight package, you don't have to bring up his stats. I know what you're about to do. Tell me he averaged 6 points and 4 assists.
I love Jason Williams.
I'm just saying, if we're talking handle, though,
Jason Williams would have a top 25 handle in today's NBA.
The hell he wouldn't. Yes, he would. That guy had the ball on a string. Steve Francis had a wicked crossover back in the day. Whatever happened to the franchise?
He looks bad. I don't know if you've seen him recently.
I'll Google him.
Something's happened in his life. I don't know what, but something.
Allen Iverson, you heard him?
Yeah. Iverson said that Kyrie had a better handle than he did.
Did he really?
Steph's handle is 10 times better than Jay Will's handle.
Well, Steph's the reason that we're talking about this. After free agency, who's the second best team in the AFC West?
The Broncos. I've been trying to tell you guys the Broncos. You guys just don't listen to me.
Well, you told me the Broncos were a month ago. I didn't know if anything changed after
free agency. They've gotten better. The Broncos have gotten better. And they still got a top 15 pick, and they're about to get a wide receiver. Broncos are winning. The Broncos are having a winning record this year. Mark it down. Mark the tape. The Broncos are going to have a winning record this year.
I don't know what it is. Drew Lock or Vic Fangio. Broncos are fine.
You like Drew Lock, though.
I do. I do like
him. So I'm saying if you like their quarterback and they've improved their team, it's crazy to think they win two more games than they won last year. They won seven games last year.
I'll give them one more. They go 8-8, which with the expanded playoffs might get them in the back door of the postseason.
Then I would say you don't really like their quarterback that much because for the first 10 games of the season last year, they had Joe Flacco.
Well, he can't do everything.
Who stunk.
The rest of their team's not that great. It's okay. They're relatively talented.
I think they're getting weapons. I mean, they improved at running back. I think they're about to get a wide receiver that you're going to really love. I like the Broncos. I think they're going to win 9 games this year.
Well, why don't you just get a jersey? Should the Chiefs take a flyer on Drake Kirkpatrick?
At this point, I don't want to not answer the question. All of these one-year corners that aren't Bashaud Breeland are the exact same. If I had to pick a one-year corner, I'd probably pick Logan Ryan that's not on the team. But if they got Drake Kirkpatrick, if they got Tremaine Johnson, if they got Prince Amukamara, they're all about the same to me in that category. They're all going to be one-year, $2 million to $3 million options.
Except for Logan Ryan. He'd probably be like 5 or 6. But yeah, all those other guys, you're getting a veteran for a couple of million bucks. You're essentially getting what you got in Mo Claiborne last year, a warm body to fill a position. So the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. We agree on that. The Ravens are the second best team. After free agency and DeAndre Hopkins got traded and the Colts decided to go with Phillip Rivers and all these teams have made moves, is there a clear third best team in the AFC right now?
I don't think there's a clear third best team in the AFC. I mean, the answer probably is Houston.
Still?
It's probably Houston if we're playing that game. But no, I don't think right now there's a clear third team.
I'll go with, I don't know. Maybe Pittsburgh outside the box. Maybe still New England. I don't think there is a third best team right now.
I mean, New England probably. It's probably New England or Houston. But, I mean, those are the teams that also were the 1-4 seeds last year, too. So I feel like we're just saying that. I really like Miami's roster.
Maybe Buffalo?
Buffalo might. Buffalo's actually not a bad answer.
Yeah, Buffalo's
not a bad answer.
I want to see a little bit more from Buffalo. But then again, at least they're trending in the right direction. Everybody else feels like, based on the moves they've made this offseason, like the Patriots aren't closer to the Chiefs than they were at the end of last year. The Texans aren't closer. The Colts aren't closer. I don't know if they're
I disagree on those teams. I mean, I don't know if they've closed the gap enough, but I think the Colts are a better team now than they were at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that they just traded one problem for another. Jacoby Brissett was a turnover machine that couldn't get in the end zone, and now you got a turnover machine that can't get in the end zone that's a little bit older and more expensive.
I mean, I also think, I mean, their offensive line is a lot better. I think their weapons that they're going to put around them is a lot better. I think their coaching staff is better. They got DeForest Buckner. So, yeah, the Colts are a better team to me.
And, of course, you can really only evaluate who got better until after the draft because the Raiders, for example, last year, I didn't think they did much through free agency, but then you could argue they probably had the best draft of anybody with 3 first-round draft picks. So we can reevaluate this in a few weeks.
Yeah, and I would say all of this stuff is incredibly premature. We'll get to the point where there's 10 days before the draft, and we'll start to see trades happen. Think about it. We haven't seen a draft trade happen. We all know that's going to happen between now and the start of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these conversations. That's why, like, the third best conversation. Like, what does it matter? It's March.
There could also, well, there's also no sports going on. It's a sports radio show, so, you know, I'm just trying to fill time. There's also a, you know, it's definitely the haves and the have-nots right now in the NFL. Unfortunately, the Chiefs are one of the haves. We just got this on the text line. I don't know if it's true. I haven't had time to verify. Did you know you can now buy Dr. Anthony Fauci socks?
No, I don't have any interest in buying my man socks. I mean, I love him, but come on now.
You love him. He's the most important person in your world, and you wouldn't be interested in Dr. Anthony Fauci's socks?
No.
I've got Patrick Mahomes' socks.
Well,
I've got Tupac's socks. I've been looking for Master P socks for the last 10 years.
Survey said that was a lie.
Which one?
Everything you've said for the last 32
seconds. I absolutely own a pair of Tupac socks that have a bandana on them. Thank you very much.
Oh, you have Tupac socks or Tupac's socks?
No. You thought I said I do not own Tupac's actual socks.
That's why I was confused.
I have a pair of socks.
That's why I was confused.
With Tupac.
I didn't know.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. And if you find Masterpiece socks, get them for me and I'll pay you back.
We out the mind of the machine?
That's it. We're out.
Back again tomorrow. Wash your hands. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.